I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Wow. Your whole self for your whole life to God as an act of worship. Acceptable to God. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This was the joy of my 1 month sabbatical. To say, Lord, what do you mean by this? And what would it mean for us as a church to be renewed in our minds? Part of the problem is I try to fit too much in every sermon. If you were here last Sunday, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It was good and it was rich and it was encouraging to us as a church, but there's just so much that we packed in there, and it's gonna probably take us a while to synthesize it. And for me to say, Lord, what does this look like? And so I want to put it into a little booklet to understand this. What does this mean? And so over these weeks, this is what we're seeking to do, to understand what does the Bible mean by the renewing of our minds. And I feel like last Sunday we just began to answer that first question, what does the Bible mean by the renewing of our minds? Remember, we looked at these verses. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. If you were my kid, you know what would happen. We'd go home for lunch, and I would say, what did the pastors preach about this morning? And you would have to give feedback. Oh, I know what you said, Dad. This is what the Bible says. And so if I asked you, what was the sermon last Sunday, would you remember? Well, let me help you out. A renewed mind is a Christian mind. Do you remember? In view of God's mercy, everything from chapter 1 all the way to 11 is describing the mercy of God, both for Jew and Gentile, that no one is saved except by the mercy of God. That is Romans 12, 1 and 2. We saw this in 1 Corinthians 2. Remember how we talked that the natural man, the person without the Holy Spirit, does not understand the things of God. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10 to 16, it says they're not even able to do so. Now we need God to make us alive by His Spirit so that we can understand the things given to us by God. That's 1 Corinthians 2. You can go back and we can struggle through it again. It's the renewal of our minds. Is a renewed mind is a Christian mind, that we are made alive in God. Remember in 1 Corinthians, we jumped ahead to chapter 12. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3. And we spent a lot of time there. So the first idea we got last Sunday is the renewed mind is a Christian mind. Do you remember the second point? A renewed mind has a renewed purpose. And we see it right here in 12. Romans 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that through testing you will discern what the will of God is. Discernment is a function of our minds, but it's also a part of our passions and our wills, the work of our mind to give ourselves to it. The renewed mind has a renewed purpose. We're no longer just living for ourselves. Remember, we spent a lot of time on this last Sunday. We're living for the purpose of God. He bought you with a price, therefore honor God with your bodies. We have a new purpose for living. We don't just have a shopping list of prayers trying to get God to do for us what we will and what we want from God. No, we submit ourselves as a living sacrifice to God as worship with a renewed purpose to discern and to live for the will of God. And then the third idea we saw last Sunday, is that we have renewed affections. Do you remember 1 John? If we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. And remember, I was quoting the sermon of a 17th century or 18th century preacher who said that there is the expulsive power of a new affection, Thomas Chalmers. I lost his name for a second. And what he meant by that is we can spend all of our time talking about the love of the world, and we try to convince everybody how bad it is. Don't follow the world. And it'll never make a difference. No, we need something greater. We need a greater affection. That's why in 1 John it says, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. No, when we love the Father, it will expel this affection for the world. So as preachers, I think we waste a lot of time just declaring how evil the world is and pushing it all down instead of declaring the glory of God. And remember, we saw these verses. I just want to read it to you again. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it is the love of Christ that controls us. We concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for whose sake died and was raised. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. And we've seen this. The words of Jesus in John's gospel. What did he say? If you love me, you will obey me. So it's this renewed affection. Remember the Apostle Paul? Romans 8, God has caused everything to work to good for those who love him and called according to his purpose, a renewed purpose, a renewed affection. It's right there. We saw it and spent quite a bit of time on it last Sunday. See, this is what pastors like to do. They preach the same sermon twice. We saw it in Philippians. You remember when Paul says, I count all things as loss in view of the surpassing value and the greatness of knowing Christ and being found in him. This is Paul's goal, pressing toward the mark, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, moved by a greater affection in the love of God. I don't want you to forget this. Because if we will embrace the renewing of our minds over this week and next, we must remember that a renewed mind is a Christian mind, and a renewed mind has a renewed purpose, and a renewed mind has a renewed affection. So we want to move forward this morning, and though I feel like we haven't answered the question fully, we want to begin to answer the second question that I posed to you last Sunday. How are our minds renewed? And so we're going to look at Colossians chapter 3 over the next 2 weeks. But I would like to invite you to pray with me, and then we'll look at God's word together. Kind Father, I pray that you would work in us to will and to act. That your work in us would produce a change of our wills. That we would no longer just desire what we desire, but like Ephesians 5, we would seek to find out what is pleasing to you, because we are no longer darkness, we are children of light. And to walk in the light is to seek to please you. That as our minds are renewed in Romans 12 that we saw last Sunday, that we would prove and discern what is your will, O Lord. We agree with the Apostle Paul in Philippians 2 that as you work in us to will and to act according to your good pleasure, that we will work it out. We will work out our salvation, not work for our salvation, because you've already done that. The Lord is my salvation. We just declared it in the songs we sang. But Lord, would you change our will to desire the things of you, Lord? Would you cause us to see, maybe for the first time, maybe in a fresh way, the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ? That we would not settle for cheap imitations that the world tells us we should buy their goods. But we would have a greater affection. That we would press towards this goal. That we would love you, Lord, with all our heart and our soul and our minds. Oh, Lord. Will you renew your church? Renew our hope in you. All over this auditorium, you know the truth of each heart in their innermost being. There is no place to hide, and I'm thankful. Because you know those who are yours, and you know how our hearts need to be renewed. Renew our hope in you. Renew our trust in you. Renew our resolve to know you. Renew our love for you. Renew our faith in you. For each one, I pray that you'll renew our minds. So again, Lord, let us hear. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're not there yet, please turn to Colossians chapter 3, arguably one of the most encouraging chapters in the Bible. I might have to arm wrestle someone to say I think Romans 8 is likely up there with it, but this is one of the most amazing chapters in the Bible, Colossians chapter 3. And I want to look at it over the next 2 weeks. I actually, as I was preparing this sermon, to actually put my sermon aside for next Sunday with Colossians 3 because I saw the context. And I feel like we need to address some of the bigger issues of this context. Let's start in chapter 2, verse 20. Look how chapter 2, verse 20 begins. If with Christ you died to the elementary spirits of the world, why, as if you were still living in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Referring to things that all perish as they are used according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed the appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism. That's just a fancy word for saying extreme denial or even abstinence. All these rules about not getting married or whatever they are, abstinence and denial. And asceticism and severity to the body. But they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Sounds like a bad diet. Do not taste. But when cookies come out. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. You have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then as God's chosen, holy ones, beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is a result of the renewed mind. You can see it in verse 10. I want to focus on the first part of this to set the stage for next Sundays. We'll focus on chapter 3. But I want you to see the context. It is really unfortunate that chapter 3 is divided where it is. You must remember that the numbers in the Bible were not a part of the original. They were added later, and I'm glad they were, so we can find our way around. We know what the address of the verses that we're remembering are. But it's really unfortunate because there is no division between chapter 3 and chapter 2. They actually have a connection with a parallel argument between chapter 2, verse 20, and chapter 3, verse 1. Do you see it? If you died with Christ in 2:20 and 3, verse 1, if you've been raised with Christ. And he's expanding on the argument that he already gave us in chapter 2, verse 12. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you also raised with him through faith and the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. It sounds a lot like Romans 6. You've been united with Christ in his death. You've been united with Christ in his resurrection. So chapter 2, verse 20 says, if you died with Christ, 3, verse 1, if you've been raised with Christ. Now, most of the scholars believe that the best way to understand this is it's saying, since you have died with Christ, and since you've been raised with Christ. And I think this is true because it's describing a Christian. It's describing those who have been united with Christ. That's verse 12, having been united with him. He's describing those who are truly in Christ. So if this is true, then he's going to describe both sides of it, very similar to Romans 12. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. We know he's talking to Christians. The book of Colossians in chapter 1, verse 2, just a page to the left, he says, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. He's writing to Christians. You can see it even if you look down in chapter 3. Look at verse 12. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. And then in verse 13, he talks about forgiving each other at the end of the verse, as the Lord has forgiven you. These are forgiven people. They've been chosen by God. They've been forgiven by God, verse 12, verse 13. And then look what he says in verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. These are those who are part of the body of Christ. We are unable to renew our own minds. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. A renewed mind is a Christian mind. He starts with the very same idea. God has to work in us first. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's why in chapter 2, verse 20 to 23, he's describing the hopelessness of setting up your own rules and your own regulations and trying to live for God. We're unable to. Just like last week, the natural man doesn't even understand the things of God. He's not able to. So we have to first of all see that God is the one who is working in us, and it's an ongoing work. And when we see this, we can move to Colossians 3. Because guess what? In Colossians 3, there's a lot of commands. There are a lot of things that we are told to do. Set your mind on things above. Sounds a lot like a command to me. If you're a Christian, if you are chosen by God and you're forgiven and you're called to be holy, then do this, but we must not get it wrong. If you think you can renew your own mind, you will get it wrong. It's ongoing work of God. Otherwise, we will just come to a legalistic application of chapter 3. We'll take all the list of things we ought to do, and we'll think that we can do it ourselves. It's humanism. It's self-help, self-directed, self-determined, and self-improvement. And I couldn't even think of any other self words, but that's really what it is. If you just take Colossians 3 and pull it out and say, okay, I'm going to make my list and I'm going to do whatever it says, without the Holy Spirit, you've created your own to-do list. So how are our minds renewed? It's not by our own effort. Listen again to 2:20. If with Christ you died to the elementary spirits of the world, why is, if you're still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? These are self-imposed regulations. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used according to human precepts and teachings. Now, what is amazing is it actually sounds like it's going to work. It actually sounds like, yeah, this is wise. Look at verse 23. These have indeed the appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism, denial and abstinence and severity to the body. But, and here's the bottom line, how far you're going to get with this. If you think you are going to live for God without the Holy Spirit in your life and you're going to prove to the world how good you are, you can fool a lot of people. You can fool yourself. But here's the bottom line evaluation about how effective it is. They are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. You know why? Because it's still the works of the flesh. We need God's ongoing work. And we will see this next week in Colossians 3. We're still commanded to do these things. But this Sunday, I want to focus on three foundational truths that we must understand. The very first one is that the renewing of our minds is by the Holy Spirit. Your mind and my mind will only be renewed by the Holy Spirit. Turn to the book of Titus. It's just a few books to the right. All the T books are together. Thessalonians, Timothy, and Titus. And they get shorter and shorter. So you should be able to find it. Titus chapter 3. Beginning in verse 4. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy. Sounds a lot like Romans 12. By the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. But he's talking about salvation. One of the commentaries I looked at, though, kind of really opened my understanding to this, that there's two things it's talking about. Regeneration is the clear idea that we are born again, that John 3, where Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. That's the word regeneration. It's only the Holy Spirit that does it right in this verse, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Makes us alive. But renewal is this ongoing work of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly. Let me show you what I mean in verse 6. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. He's still talking about salvation. So that being justified by his grace, so that's what he's done in regeneration, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And here is a good verse for every pastor. This saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things. So as strongly as I can say this, as your pastor, I want to say, I insist on these things. It's God's word. So that, and why does he insist on it? Those who believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. You see what's going on here? The Spirit regenerates us and makes us alive, and then the Spirit renews us. And what Titus 3:5 is saying is that God is still calling us to respond. We must do good works. We must live this out. We're going to get there in Colossians 3. But you can't do it unless the Holy Spirit makes you alive and renews your mind after the image of the one who created you. I can't wait to get to Colossians 3. But the very first lesson we must understand, so that we don't jump to legalism, so we don't have this false hope that we can do it, is the renewing of our minds is by the Holy Spirit. We know this is true. We know that Colossians chapter 2 is true. We've tried it and it hasn't worked in our own strength. We can make it look good on the outside so that other people believe we're changing our life on the inside, but it's only by the Holy Spirit. Unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. Those who build labor in vain, we're told. So who's building? It's the Lord who builds the house, but we are still called to labor. I think that's this idea, the renewing of your mind by the Holy Spirit. And as God does it, then we respond to it. As he regenerates us, makes us alive, and then begins this process of renewing our minds. Regeneration is new life. Renewal is walking in newness of life. I think this is the message we're supposed to see. Unless the Spirit renews our minds, those who renew their mind in vain. I think this is the same message as the book of Galatians. I want to just invite you to turn there. Turn to the book of Galatians. You know these verses. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, we have the exact opposite of Colossians 2. Colossians 2 says that there's no way you can restrain your fleshly indulgence. Do you remember? I can read it for you. The appearance of wisdom, promoting self-made religion, asceticism, severity to the body, but there is no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. If you live by these regulations, you will never be able to control your flesh. Galatians 5 says the opposite. You need to see this with your own eyes. Open your Bible, chapter 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. My friends, this is where the gospel produces transformation in us. It is not by the legalism of our own effort, being a self-made person. somehow in this Galatians 5 passage. And somehow when we come to Colossians 3, we will see what it truly means to be renewed in our minds and to walk in that truth as a living sacrifice. Because God is doing it in us. Galatians 5 has two lists. You know these verses. Verse 16, but I say, walk in by the Spirit. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. They're opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, and we have the whole list. You know this list. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. This is not a complete list. It's things like this. He's trying to show us something, that this is the result of living by the flesh in your own effort. It'll produce all these kind of things. So here is this list. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things, things like this, it's not a complete list, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because they're still living by the flesh. Remember Romans 8 last Sunday? Why did we spend so much time there? Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We'll see it in a moment. But here's the second list. But, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, it's not a complete list. There is no law. He's saying this is what the Holy Spirit will produce. Now, we often get this wrong as Christians, and I want to say this so that it might shock you a bit. But we think that one list is a list of bad things and the other list is a list of good things. So let's just switch the lists. Let's just quit doing the bad things and start doing the good things. That is not Galatians 5. Because even if you could do everything on the good list, you would still be living in Colossians chapter 2 by your own flesh, trying to do what you think you ought to do. No, the renewing of our minds that will work itself out in the renewing of our lives is by the Holy Spirit. That's what Galatians 5 is saying. It is saying there is a list of the flesh, and then there's a list that the Spirit will produce. Look at verse 24. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. In verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, if we've been regenerated, if we've been made alive, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. To follow the Holy Spirit as He produces fruit in us. This is verse 18, those who are led by the Spirit. We're not just exchanging lists. It's not just a message, come to church, hear the pastor preach another sermon that says, go home and read your Bible more and pray more and witness more and do all this stuff. No, it is life of the Spirit. It's that God would call you to walk by the Spirit. Do you see it? You are alive by the Spirit. Now keep in step as the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin. Confess your sin. Don't hold on to bitterness. Respond to the Holy Spirit. Where you're being selfish and cranky pants and grumpy and unkind, the Spirit is going to come and convict you of sin and call you to walk in what is obedience. You're not just going to take this list and say, hey, what am I going to work on today? Peace. I'm going to try to be peaceful today. That's in your flesh. It is hopeless. You will never do it. We're going to get to Colossians 3. We're going to get to Romans 8 next Sunday, and it's going to say, set your mind on the things of the Spirit. And if we don't get this right, all we've done is created behavioral modification. And like Jesus said to the Pharisees, we will make you twice as much a son of hell. Because you will try to live the Christian life by yourself, by your flesh. It is hopeless. No, if we live by the Spirit, Galatians 5:25, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Those who are led by the Spirit. This is what Paul is trying to correct. This is Galatians 3, verse 1 to 3. You know these verses, just turn over a few pages. These are all the Galatian churches. Paul is writing to all these different churches in this region of Galatia, and he's trying to correct this. Because they're trying to now live by their flesh. Listen to these words in Galatians 3, verse 1 to 3. He gets right to the point. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Now, let's be honest. Nobody knows what you're thinking in this exact moment sitting in church, but be honest. Isn't this what we often think? Yeah, God saved me. I've been made alive by the Spirit. Now I'm gonna live for Him. I will do it with my best effort. Paul calls this foolishness. Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? No, the very first message we must get, and I'm spending so much time here, I'll try to move quickly on the last two ideas. But we have to get this right if we are going to understand the command to set your mind on things and to focus on Christ and understand what God is calling us to do. The message is clear. Since you live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. I want to show you this in Romans 8. Just because it will help us when we come back next Sunday. Look at Romans 8, verse 14. This is a description of those who are real Christians. If you are a real Christian, this ought to describe you. It ought to describe me. Romans 8, verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. We need to walk by the Spirit. The renewing of our minds is by the Holy Spirit, not just a list that we exchange. Romans 8 gives us the context before and after, and the verses are really important for us because it helps us understand that this is the Christian mind. And you know where I'm going to go with this next Sunday. I'm going to ask you, are you led by the Spirit? Are you led by your own passions and desires? Or are you a Christian? A renewed mind is a Christian mind. Are you living out your own purposes and your own affections? Or is the Holy Spirit changing you and renewing you to think differently to the will of God? Look at these verses after verse 14, verse 15. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. This is a description of a Christian. God is your Father. And you cry out in affection to Abba, your loving Father. It's a new affection. Verse 16 is the same. He goes on, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. This is what God is doing. And if you are children of God, then we go on to live for God. It's the same with the verses before verse 14. Remember, verse 14 says, if you are led by the Spirit, you're sons of God. Look at the verses before, beginning in verse 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, it does not belong to him. We need to think about it. But if Christ is in you, although your body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. This is where we find hope. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. We know our sin. So do those who live with us. They see the attitudes of our hearts. We saw last Sunday that even our desires can be sin. But God will transform by his Spirit. Verse 11, he will give life to your mortal bodies by a Spirit that dwells in you. Then look at verse 12. People say, yeah, but I can't help myself. Look at verse 12. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. This is Colossians 3, verse 1 to 17. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. That's probably sufficient for my first point. I'm trying to convince you that you would truly believe and understand that the renewing of your mind and my mind is by the Holy Spirit. God does this work in us. And as he does, then we respond to him. The second point is that the renewing of our minds is with truth. This is how the Holy Spirit renews our mind. In Colossians 3, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I know that it's impossible for me to get through all of my sermon. In 1 Peter, he says, chapter 1, verse 13, therefore, preparing your minds for action, being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Verse 22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, since you were born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed, through the living and abiding word of God, all flesh is like grass, and all glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God remains forever. And you might say, yes, it's talking about Christ, and it is. But look what the very next phrase is. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. The Holy Spirit will use God's words to direct our steps. John 17, 17, we won't look these up. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. In James chapter 1, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. In Romans 15, it's through the encouragement and endurance and encouragement of the scriptures that we have hope. One of my favorite verses, you've heard me preach it so many times because I'm convinced, is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. You receive the word for what it really is, the very word of God that does its work in you who believe. The renewing of our minds will be the truth of God's words. In 2 Timothy, you know these words so well. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and suffering that happened to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet for all these, the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And while evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you learned, in what you firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. From childhood you were acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Are you convinced yet? The renewing of our minds is by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit renews our minds with God's words. And when we fill our lives with social media loops over and over again, and we fill our minds with the messages of the world, it's pretty hard not to be conformed to the world. No, the Spirit will renew our minds with God's word. The last foundational truth that I want to share with you is that the renewing of our minds is in Christ-likeness. It's not just memorizing data and collecting favored verses in the Bible. No, it will actually transform us to be like Christ. Now, we will never be perfect until Christ returns. We know that in 1 John. When he appears, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. Full knowledge, full transformation, 1 John 3. But this process, this transformation in the renewing of our minds, is conformity to the image of God's Son. That's Romans 8. The Holy Spirit is praying beyond words, and God is causing all things to work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And what's his purpose? That we be conformed to the image of his Son. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. The renewing of our mind is not just going to church. It is not just Christian culture and being a nicer person and exchanging my lists so that people think I'm a Christian. No, it is a transforming knowledge. As we behold the glory of the Lord, it is a transforming knowledge into that same image from one degree of glory to another. And look how that verse ends in 2 Corinthians 3:18. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. And he goes on in chapter 4, even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded their minds to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Christ's sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Transforming knowledge as we know who Jesus is. That growing knowledge of who Christ is by the Spirit in the Word of God, in transforming knowledge, we see the glory of Christ. We will be changed to be more like Christ. And one day we will see him as he is. And when we see him with full knowledge, we will be like him. So you want to be like Christ? Then see him in the Word, by the Spirit, in the humility of crying out to God, show me, Lord. Turn off the stupid computer and pray and say, Lord, I don't understand. Teach me by your Spirit. The natural man can't understand, but I trust you. Teach me by your Spirit. And open the Word, because he uses the Word. And see the glory of God in Jesus. And this is the treasure that we have in our inner being, because this is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You know these verses. We have this treasure. What is the treasure? The knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. That's the verse right before. To show us the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We can't do this. You can't renew your mind. Our minds are renewed by the Holy Spirit. Our minds are renewed with truth, and our minds are renewed into Christ's likeness. And the very next verse in 2 Corinthians 4, guess what he says? In verse 10, always carrying in our body the death of Jesus, so that, and what does he say? That the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. Christ's likeness, that we are being changed from glory to glory, manifesting Christ. That's verse 10. Listen to verse 11, just in case you didn't get it the first time. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that, and here he says it again, the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. That we are being transformed. I'd like to invite you all over to my house for lunch, but I would be sleeping on the sofa for at least a month. Because if I brought you to my house for lunch, I would ask you, what did the pastor say this morning? I pray that in God's kindness, you will receive this and understand it as foundational truth for where we're going next Sunday. Both of these Sundays. Romans 12, 1 and 2, the renewed mind is a Christian mind in view of God's mercy. The renewed mind has renewed purpose, a living sacrifice, all of my being for all my days, living for the will of God. And a renewed mind has renewed affections to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And this morning, that you would come to this humble place that says, I can't do this, Lord. My mind is only renewed by the Holy Spirit. And my mind is renewed with the truth. Let your truth dwell in me richly. And my mind is renewed in Christ's likeness. What I love about Philippians chapter 2 is this incredible description of Christ. Have this mind in you, which is yours, in Christ Jesus. Does that not give you hope? If you are in Christ, if you belong to him, you have the Holy Spirit. And so we pray, renew your church, Lord, and renew our minds by your Spirit with truth in Christ's likeness. Will you pray with me? Father, we prayed at the very beginning of this service that you would work in us to will and to act according to your good pleasure as it works out of us. We work out our salvation, not for our salvation. So, Lord, have your way in your church. Renew your church. Renew our hope in you. Renew our trust in you. Renew our resolve to know you. Renew our love for you. Renew our faith in you. Renew our minds, Lord. By your Holy Spirit, with your word, in Christ likeness. Let the mind of Christ transform our minds, that we not be conformed to the world, but transformed after the image of the one who has created us. May the mind of Christ, our Savior, live in us from day to day, and by his love and power controlling all I do and say. In your mercy, hear our prayer, Lord. Renew our minds for your glory, that the life of Jesus will be manifested in us, in this church, in my life, in our lives, I pray. Amen. And if I-